Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the 10th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design. It's day 4 at TCR number 10, and overnight, Robin Gemperla, cap number 2, has shown no sign of slowing up as he continues to set the pace. Behind Robin, riders including Abdullah Zainab, cap 21, and Christoph Strasser, cap number 1, are doing everything they can to close that gap. While Jana Kessenheimer, cap number 10, is still our fastest woman and inside the top 20 riders overall. Further back, a large number of riders are now making their way to Control Point 1 in Slovenia. Our team in Control Car 2 are back out on the Grossglockner Pass to see how they are getting on. Andrew Phillips, race coordinator.
I'm here with Jessica Wood. We met you yesterday. You were wondering whether you were going up Grossglockner because you were checking whether the pass was going to be open. And could you tell me where we're standing now?
Yeah, we are on that pass that I routed myself down a closed road. So did a lovely detour to the village of Lend, delightful descent. And then by the time I realised my mistake, the pass was closed. So I had a lovely night in a hotel, got to climb this in the daylight, so at least you don't have to come back and do it again to see it. So slight delay.
Andrew Swain, cap 263.
Right now, you've got a gearing problem.
No, it's not a gearing problem. It's just I wish I'd packed a bigger cassette, like you always do, and it's... Oh, I've been pushing hard and got to Brackbrook last night, well, yesterday afternoon. I thought, you know what, I've got serious saddle sores and I need, everything's running out of power. So I just got a quick hotel room. Last night it was lovely, it was like being on holiday. And then this morning it's back at it. So I've had a little break, so mentally well repaired. But oh, it's such a tough race. It's a lot tougher, it's the mental side of it.
So I'm standing at the top of Grossglockner. We've been up here since just after sunrise, and the light is just amazing. We've got a soft morning light on the mountains. We've got cloud hanging halfway up them so that the peaks are sticking out above, and the early light is lighting the slopes below the cloud. We've got about 6 riders on the climb this morning. It's a bit of a funny one because it is closed overnight, so a number of riders I think were waiting at the toll booth at the bottom to get through as soon as it opened. And we've seen Jessica Wood, Andrew Swain, we've seen Valerie and a few other riders. And Jessica, we're just watching from sort of vantage point right at the top. We're watching her do the last few hairpins of the first part of the climb, and Jessica is absolutely flying up. It's really amazing to see the pace that she's finishing off this absolutely enormous climb with.
Another rider whose pace has been the talk of TCR number 10 so far is our leader, Robin Gemperla. He's now become the first person to traverse the gravel of the second parkour and reach Control Point 2 in Bosnia. One of our volunteers at CP2, James Vernon, managed to speak to Robin before he left and pushed on.
Yeah, of course you have to ride rather quickly, but I think key to success is efficiency in the brakes.
Cool.
And I mean, yeah, let's see if I can continue at this pace. And I have a bit of knee issues, but I'll solve them.
Okay, so how is your sleep strategy going?
Perfect as well. I mean, yesterday I had, again, three hours of sleep. What was really great is that I had 4.5 hours in the first night, which was also planned. And I think most of the others only had 3 hours.
It seems like you're riding with intent, a lot of intent. So what does the TCR mean for you?
I don't know yet what it would really mean in the end to actually win it, but yeah, that's the goal. And I'll find out once I'm in Istanbul if it works. But yeah, clearly the goal this year is all or nothing. Now we're halfway through. Now the issues will start to come now as well. I only had good days so far. There will be bad days as well. But I have some time to play with, and I mean, I don't have to win with 10 hours of advance. If it's 10 minutes, yeah. I'm fine.
Yeah, and this is how many times have you done the TCR?
This is now the third time.
Third. Okay.
So the experiment, the defeat, and hopefully the win.
Jamie Wilson, cap number 4, was the fastest woman at TCR number 9 last year. Currently chasing Jana Kessenheimer, Jamie is putting in another brilliant ride this year, despite navigation and technical issues.
I think I remember from last year, it was around here, like Slovenia-Croatia border, that I just died a slow death of heat. So I think it's starting already, which is a shame for me, really. But we move. How's it been going? Really good. Slovenia was amazing, really beautiful. Been having a lot of annoyances with my route, probably down to really shit planning on my behalf, a lack of wanting to spend hours and hours and hours and hours on the route. And then to top that off, yesterday my Wahoo died, as in like crashed and it's frozen and won't turn back on again. I've got a spare. My former self swears that she loaded the maps, but they're not there. So I'm just literally following like a blank screen with a chevron on, and I've made in the region of 1,000 wrong turns. So that's getting a little bit frustrating, but again, we move.
Hannah Lorbelestier, race reporter in Control Car 2.
We're at the top of Mangart Saddle now, just waiting for a hiker to come through up at the top. It's a pretty busy scene up here, so the road is kind of open to cars on a very limited access because it's so narrow on the climb up, and maybe a couple of hundred meters below the summit cars have to stop and park up, and beyond that cyclists can pass through and lots of walkers, and there seem to be a few climbers as well doing some rock climbing, so there's all sorts of people up here. Just seeing a couple of people finishing a segment effort, clearly, on Strava. And I'm hoping I'll get to chat to Hiker in a minute. Hey, Hiker, how are you doing?
Quite good. Obviously tired legs after such a climb. But other than that, I think I mostly feel overwhelmed with having made it here and being in this beautiful place. It's been quite a roller coaster, to be honest. Today has been great. I think my first really good day. I feel strong and it's just so rewarding to climb up here. But the start of the race has been a bit tougher. I felt like a saddle sore pretty much from day one, which is not when it should happen. And got my period, which made me a bit more moody and needy for good rest, good stops. But yeah, now it's good. I think we're there for the ride, for the ups and downs, and yeah.
And you're on a high right now.
I'm on a high right now. Nice. You see here maybe on my aero bars and my arm, I have a couple of tiny pictures that my nieces and nephews painted for me. They're just the size of a stamp. but I look at those ones, I read messages from home. It's really like the words of encouragement that I get from my family and friends has been just crazy nice. My aunt even wrote a song for me. Aww. And sang it to me. And that carries me through the lows quite a bit.
Matthew Lay, Cap 217.
How was your night?
Night was good. I came down, had a big meal at a really great place, and then biked on for 20k. Found a bus shelter. And went to sleep. Slept pretty well, actually, so it was good. Then headed off 6 o'clock this morning. But I didn't know we were climbing this beast today. I hadn't looked that far ahead, actually. I just looked to the first 1,000 meters and after 1,000 kilometers, haven't really looked much further.
Sometimes ignorance is bliss.
It is, yeah, it is. Definitely so.
Sinan Kagi, Cap 98.
How have you been finding the race until now?
It's fun. It's fun. Turkey will be even more fun for me.
Why is that?
I'm from Turkey.
Oh, you so are.
I can give you some tips to other riders. I found the lack of water here disturbing. It's Alps, right? Supposed to be a lot of water, free water around.
Yeah.
But there isn't. In Turkey, if you see a wild tap, like above your waistline, and some kind of writing on it, a name and a surname and a small, a few sentences, it's meant to be a, it's called Hayrat. It's meant to be a, in a loving memory of a past one. So the family of the deceased makes it and it gives free water. 99.9% it's fine to drink that water, but then you can be that one in thousand dies of that water, and then your family makes a fountain for you. That's how water cycles in Turkey, I guess.
Sean Kevin Feddersen, Cap 32.
It's going well. It's, I think, better than expected. Last year, I didn't met the CP1 for around like 2 hours. So I think I in a better position this year, better prepared. Maybe too much prepared. Have too many bags, and yeah, now they're taking the price and the climbing.
You're regretting carrying so much stuff. What have you got in your setup?
I have like the supply, the food, electronics, clothes, and here the camping. It's basically this, but and a lot of water. Not eating on restaurants. Last year I had a lot of GI issues, so I'm eating a lot of sugar and honey, but then I need to drink also a lot to not stress my stomach, and add a lot of salt also. So.
And is your new strategy working for you?
Yeah, definitely.
Adrian Lai, Cap 19.
I wasn't going to do this year. Because, you know, I did TPR last year. I thought, oh no, I can't stand the organisational burden of like doing this all over again, like immediately. And then you announced this, and it's like, and it starts on my birthday, and it's like, oh no, I have to do it.
So registration day was your birthday.
Yeah, Sunday was my birthday.
Did you do anything special apart from obviously starting TCR?
No.
Happy birthday, Happy
Thank
birthday.
You.
Later, the team meet Thomas Kovac, Cap 124. Who is rattling along nicely, quite literally.
Okay, I won't say I'm excited, but yeah, it's, gotta admit, it's quite brutal, especially without water. Wait, here you got some good audio content.
Sound of gears crunching.
And I think it's the chainring bolt. Because I checked everything. Wait. Fresh chain, fresh gazette, fresh bottom bracket. Nice.
Is it driving you slowly to the edge of your sanity?
No, it's okay. I got used to it. So. But it just got more loud now on the way up, and more clicky, more dense. The clicks, or if I stand up, it's even, no. Yeah, it's weird how it behaves, so.
Taking on the transcontinental race means incredibly long hours in the saddle, and each rider has their own way of entertaining and motivating themselves to keep going. Nazar Maksimchuk Nitasrum, Cap 228.
Loving the music. What are you listening to?
it's the only thing that keeps me alive right now. There's this album my friends made for me. It's called 10,000 meters elevation. So I've been listening to it repeat the whole night.
And you've got it on a loudspeaker?
Yep, the loudest I could get.
And have you been coming across other riders on the road, and have they been enjoying hearing your songs?
I think so. They haven't been telling me to stop the music, at least. Before the race start, my friend told me, don't limit your challenges, challenge your limits. And I think I'm on the exact right spot thinking of that quote.
Tobias Gustafsson, Cat 159.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, I don't like the uphills. And I don't like the heat, so I'm really worried about Southern Europe and Turkey.
But you're finding the conditions all right now? It's pretty cold up here on Mango.
No, it's not cold here. Here it's nice. It's further down in the valleys, it's too hot for me. Even in Germany.
And how's the rest of your race been going?
Good. I want to finish within 16 days, so I put in some buffer time that we'll have to use on days when I will ride shorter because of the heat or more uphills.
How does it feel being here?
Yeah, it's a good adventure. That's why you do it, for adventure. And then the first 10 guys can race it.
It's a race against yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you will need to dig deep.
Most riders at the TCR will use a sleep strategy that sees them combine hotel stops, where they can get a bed and hopefully grab a shower, with nights in a bivvy, where the aim is often to get a brief rest and move on. However, the search for a suitable bivvy spot can lead to some unusual sleeping places. Nod Nelson, Cat 97.
I slept in a tunnel last night, weirdly. Not a road tunnel.
Okay.
It was like a pedestrian bit, like for going round the road. And it was weird. It had like a mezzanine in it. Like, so I slept on that. Because it was up high, it was quite warm. Oh. It was all right.
A mezzanine in a tunnel?
It was really bizarre, yeah. Honestly, I've never seen a tunnel like it. Really weird. Some other guys, like, I was chatting to coming across, they saw it and they were like, I'm amazed no one's sleeping there. But I was just like squirreled away up the top. It's a really weird place, honestly bizarre.
Have you had any other intriguing sleep spots on your race so far?
Bus shelter and tunnel the last two nights.
Are you bivvying most nights, or have you had any hotel stops?
Hopefully that's me done with it. Hopefully it gets cheaper from now on, and then I'm going to hotel it.
That is the beauty of entering the Balkans.
Exactly, yeah. It takes actually a lot of time, you know, getting changed, getting in your sleeping bag, get changed again.
Bursary rider Joshka Volkal, Cap 291, is another rider whose sleep time has been mostly bivvy based so far.
I'm feeling the race now. I'm totally in it. Sleep wasn't that good last night. I slept outside for nights. I can feel that. But when I'm on the bike, it's okay.
What's your sleep strategy been so far? Have you been out bivvying, or have you been getting hotels?
No, just bivvying. The hotels are almost closed when I arrived. That's the main problem. So, yeah, I slept outside and had bad weather. So the quality of the sleep wasn't that good.
Evening on day 4 at TCR number 10. And Hannah finds Francesca Scott, Cap 290, and another one of our bursary riders this year, who has decided to stop for the night before the start of the first parkour.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay, how are you?
Yeah, I'm alright, today was a tough day.
Have you stopped for the night?
Yeah, I stopped at like 5. I really struggled today. I got up at 2:30 because I was halfway up that pass. Because yeah, I tried to do it last night. But I think it was a bit too late. It was like 7, or like just gone 7 when I started going up. And I got halfway, and it was like 10:30 at night, and I was like pushing my bike up. I was just like, I'm done. Like my legs were just like wouldn't give anymore. So I literally bivvied on the side of the road. And luckily the weather was all right. It was a bit cold, but like my sleep setup was just about okay. But I did wake up at 2:30 and I was like, I'm not the warmest. So I was like, let's get up and go. And it's just been a slog today for me. Like, yeah, considering I set off at 2:30 and then like by 5:00 this evening, I'd only done like just over 150 kilometers. I was like, okay, let's think about this. I don't think I can do the parkours today. It's too late in the day to be setting off with like all that elevation. And I was like, you know what? Let's get an early night. The checkpoint's open till midnight tomorrow. I'm hoping a real good rest, a good sleep will set me up good. I'm going to set off early tomorrow and do it.
This is a first transcontinental race for Eric Schiller, Cap 199. After 4 days of riding, he has some advice for anyone who might be considering the challenge themselves.
How long have you been wanting to race TCR?
Well, I'm originally from Dresden, and Fiona Kolbinger is also from Dresden, Björn Lena. There are lots of heads doing this, so it was always in my mind, but I thought those people are too crazy, they're too good for this world. And then suddenly you start to cycle more and more, and this TCR thing comes even closer, and now it's, yeah, it's here, and I can't really believe it yet, so, yeah.
Have you got any advice for anyone that is inspired by TCR, would love to do it, but isn't quite sure if they're capable of it?
Well, probably be a bit realistic, but also, I mean, I signed up for it when I had 2 or 3 mulled wines for Christmas, I guess. So don't think about it too much about the challenge, because otherwise it's a bit overwhelming.
At the front of the race, Robin Gemperla continues to push on and maintain a gap back to a small group of chasing riders who are getting ready to take on the Gravel Parkour 2. They include Omar De Felice, Cap 16.
Hey Omar, hi. How are you doing?
Also.
Yeah?
Yeah, I suffered some fever in the last couple of days after the Versage, so I'm...
We're standing near the bottom of the parkour. What are you feeling? What are you thinking?
I think I will sleep some hours and then I will do the parkour. I'm not a good feeling to do the parkour now, so I found a place here on booking and then hit something and then sleep and then go on the parkour.
Nice. And we'll see. And how are you feeling? A bit tired, but otherwise?
I think I have fever again, but I don't know. I'm not so strong now, as we see.
After a good rest, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
We are at the top of the Bielašnica and the views are absolutely stunning. The road is gravel, it's pretty rocky, it's tough, it's steep, it's definitely not easy, and we are just currently waiting for André Backman and Christoph Strasser, who is about, I don't know, not so far behind him. They're both in shot, and we're just waiting for the two of them to come to the summit, and then they'll drop down and swing round to the control point, and then they'll carry on the parkour. So we're just waiting for them at the top. There's a little bit of a breeze, it's quite chilly, but in fairness, the weather is pretty lovely. Sun is out, and yeah, it's utterly spectacular up here.
Shortly after, Christoph comes into view, and he's pushing, not riding.
Hi. Hey Christoph, how are you?
Quite okay. I'm not embarrassed by walking the bike. Absolutely not. I think it's maybe faster or at least not slower than risking damage on the bike and maybe falling down, crashing. So I prefer a fast walk.
Totally, and we're about to reach the summit. How has the previous bit been?
Yeah, the first bit was okay to ride, but now the top is a little bit too much for my skills, and my skills are not the best, and of course they get worse after 4 days of non-stop riding.
And
How are you feeling in general after the 4 days of non-stop riding?
Yeah, getting better now. The first day was not really great. The second day was better. And number three and number four was actually quite good.
Oh, nice. So your navigational issues all sorted?
Yes, I was able to fix the things while riding and had to reset and restart and everything with my phone sometimes, and I still have to do it every few hours, but somehow it's working.
Good. Pleased to hear that.
Yeah, I had like 20 wrong navigation decisions on the first day, and it's really like not good for your spirits.
Another day closes at TCO number 10, and as the field gets ever stretched across Europe, it's clear that Robin Gempola is going to take some beating. But the riders behind him have the experience and speed to push him all the way to Istanbul. So there are surely more twists and turns to come. Join us in our next episode, where we'll also see if Jana Kessenheimer can maintain her position as the fastest woman, and whether any of our pairs can close the gap to Sherry Cardona and Geryon Tewes. Plus, we'll bring you more stories from those riders who are busy in their own TCR adventure. Remember, you can read Emma's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Stop website, and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design.